Calling it a love song now. It used to call it a testimony, but that sounded a little too mechanical, you know? A little too religious. But it's a love song. You know, when we take this love and give it away, it comes up before the Lord like a song. And I know sometimes it's just a little too freaky for people to stand up and say something in a crowd. And I respect that. That's okay. God will heal you of that. Don't worry about it. When the time comes, you'll be good to go. But until then, if you wanted to write it down, and you can be anonymous, we'll go ahead and just read it for you. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing. I've had several of those opportunities this week. Last night, my sister called me, Joan. She's one of, I got twin sisters, Joan and Jean. And Jean had already gone through, probably about 10 years ago, with breast cancer. And got it whipped, and then they got it in the other side, and then she got it whipped over there. Well, now Joan, her twin sister, after a couple years ago, when she had a lump and she had a check, and they said, it's okay, it's not. It's benign. Well, then it started growing several years later. And she just got the biopsy back saying it's cancer. So, you know what? When I get a chance to talk to her last night, she called me up because I'm her preacher brother, you know. She's from my dad's fourth marriage. I'm from my dad's first marriage. So, you know, we got like four litters there. But it's okay. Anyway, she's still my sister. So she called me because, you know, the darkness kind of closes in on you. When you start saying that C word, it freaks you out. And you can put on a good game face and look good to the outside to everybody around you, but on the inside, you're freaking out. So she called me up because she just needed some encouragement. Because what happens is your mind fixates on a negative, and it just sits there and starts spinning that thing. You know them little fidget deals they got now for people that can't keep their hands still? My wife took up knitting. That solved the problem. We got scarves. We got washcloths. We got all kinds of stuff. But anyway, so I spent the whole half hour just talking to her on the phone about all the positives, because she was zeroing in like a laser beam on the worst case scenario, and it was tearing her up. She's going to see the doctor tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and same doctor that her sister had. It was really, really good. And anyway, so she's like getting really, 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 really tore up about this thing. And so I started rattling off all the positives that are there. And I told her this little trick. You know, what comes out of your mouth will override what's running around on the inside of your head. Did you know that? It's very true. I'm not talking something spiritual. I'll tell you something. You want to do a practical test right now? Do this. Start counting in your mind from 1 to 100, nice and slow. 1, 2, just silently in your mind. Okay? Are you doing it? Come on, are you doing it? It's okay. It's not a trick. Are you doing it? Just count. Just, you're still counting, right? And in your head. All right, now open your mouth and start saying your ABCs. Come on, say it. Come on, I ain't hear nobody saying the ABCs. Come on. Now what happened? Soon as that word started coming out of your mouth, your mind stopped counting, didn't it? This stuff works. So I started telling her, and you start speaking all the positives, that I'm going to make it, that this thing was caught early, and I'm going to come out of this thing just fine. And she just, you could hear her start to choke up on the phone, because she doesn't know Jesus like I know Jesus. She knows about him, and there's a world of difference between knowing about him and knowing him. So the power of that love connection is huge. What was it, Thursday, I think it was, I decided I wasn't going to go home and eat. I was going to go up to Jeannie's Diner. They got some really good soup up there. But anyway, so I went up to Jeannie's Diner, and I walk in the door, and here's two people that I haven't seen in forever. I mean, one in particular I knew back in my elementary school days and used to come to church here, and truck driver, now he's out and all that stuff. And they're just sitting there at the first table as you walk in the door. Sit down, Harold. So I sat down. Buddy, I'll tell you what, we had a good time talking about Jesus. And it was a divine appointment. I didn't have to make it happen. It was just like, there it was. And so I sat down and I got a chance to share about the goodness of God and the importance, because one guy had a situation where he was in his house and there was a gas leak and he didn't know it. And the place exploded and it blew him completely outside of the house. I mean, just shot him out of there like a cannon, right out the door. And he's had all kinds of health issues since then, as you can imagine. I mean, it spit him out pretty good, and he went in the hospital for a while and got out for a while and went back in again for a while. It was a tough road. And the other guy's dealing with all kinds of heart issues that are very unique in that the Cleveland Clinic wants to do special studies with him. So he don't know how much longer he's going to be walking around. But I got a chance to tell him about the hope of God. That it ain't over till it's over. You know, Yogi Berra, the great catcher for the New York Yankees, he's the one that came up with that. It ain't over till it's over. In other words, don't give up because it's the bottom of the ninth. You know, the last man hasn't struck out yet. We can still win this thing, right? So anyway, that was really, really cool. So here we go. We got a flea market vendor commented on my T-shirt saying that the next thing I knew, we were talking about God's goodness and the tremendous revival and awakening that is happening in the United States. I shared with her some of God's prophecies, and her face lit up, and we praised God together. She said before I left with a huge smile of gratitude, oh, thank you. I desperately needed to hear that. It gives me hope. Anybody else had a divine appointment? Got a love song you want to just tell us about? Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Oh, man.
And the same with what my daughter had, or my wife, I think my daughter had this resin disease or something because it squeezes the optic nerve and might lose peripheral vision. I just told him, I said, and his mom's posting stuff on Facebook and looking at all the worst case, I said, well, yeah, that's a medical report when you go there, because they made a whole appointment for him to go to Ann Arbor that night. He's like, I'm not going there at 5 o'clock at night, you know? I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. I said, that's okay. So when you get there, they're going to have a medical report. That's fine. But then you're going to look for the good report. He goes, I like that.
Mm-hmm. So that's right. Because Dr. Jesus makes house calls. Yes, he do. And he don't send you a bill either. I like that part. Yeah. I like that part because I got a letter in the mail from a medical thing. My wife had to get a procedure done. And we thought, well, Medicare take care of it. No problem. Medicare gives us a letter saying we ain't paying for none of it. I'm like, what? It's a common everyday procedure. It's a test. Everybody gets some. So you're not going to pay. It was, oh, we got to talk about that. But anyway, I'm not going to get nervous about it because I got a great big God and he is madly in love with me. You know, if there were milk cartons in heaven, my picture would be on it. If there's a big old refrigerator in heaven, my picture is going to be on it. Yeah. Anybody else get a chance to share your love? Come on. This is the fun part. Carol.
The doctors checked everything out, and her doctor told her she would probably never walk again. And she was sharing, she's a Christian, and you know, we were sharing the word. And I told her to find a new doctor. And
yeah.
So I don't know if she did or what she did, but the next thing I heard, she was in surgery. And her daughter called me and said that she stood for the first time in years.
Wow. In years.
In years, yeah. She couldn't stand up, and she was in a wheelchair. So, praise the Lord, you know, she did get a new doctor.
Amen, because the doctors just practice medicine.
Yeah.
Jesus is the great physician.
Right. And it was the Lord.
So, I'm all for doctors, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But,
so,
you know.
But she was in a wheelchair, so every time she'd go to try to do something, she'd fall over.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Times they are a-changing.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. There you go. It's amazing how just a little bit of encouragement can put somebody over the top. I heard one guy say it this way, that encouragement is like oxygen for the soul. Because there's so many things in our life around us today, in our society, and the way people are, they just suck the life right out of you. It's like they were born with this big vacuum sweeper, and they just pull it right out of you, and you walk out of there just feeling like you're, you know, what's the point? But just one word of encouragement, just sometimes just a smile. I got a chance to chat with the gal who's a cashier at Walmart a little bit, you know, and it was great. You know, you don't have to take up a lot of time. I hate it when people do that in 15 minutes and I'm waiting to get checked out. But anyway, yeah, just a quick little thing to encourage her. That's what we're supposed to do. And by the way, let's just say this. This church does a wonderful job in making a difference. So I know if you believe God, you'll get that divine appointment. It'll be the easiest thing you ever did. And you don't have to memorize the Bible or anything else like that. Just be a blessing to somebody. Be a giver. Yeah, Janine. All right. All right. Now you can listen to your Tigers games, right? She likes her Tigers and the Lions, too. Woman of faith. Absolutely. Glory to God. Well, yeah, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
One more.
One more. Oh, yeah, Barbara. Thank you.
I got a T-shirt. I'm not going to go now. From the Gospel Barn. And it has John 3:16 on it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, yeah.
And they said, and some people said, well, what's John 3:16? I said,
no. I'm glad you asked, yeah.
It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And they're like, what?
Let me say that to you slowly.
Yeah. I tried to say it, but yeah. I can't do it.
My daughter made me up a T-shirt that says, Pastor, and then below that it says, because devil stomping ninja da 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 is not a job title. And on the front it's just a blue shirt. And I forgot what was on the back, and I threw it on. I'm doing everything else. I run out to Walmart and I'm going through all that. And I'm coming out the door, you know, and a guy, I heard this, hey! And I turn around, and I thought, what'd I do, you know? He says, I like that shirt. I guess he'd been following me around trying to read it because there's a lot on there, you know. It's just hilarious what just something as simple as a T-shirt can do. Because we got to be about the Father's business. And the Father's business is people. And there's a whole lot of people out there that are just hanging on by the skin of their teeth. I read a thing that said over the last year with the COVID and all that stuff, that 23% of the students in the Detroit public school system had contemplated suicide. 23% of kids. They're not putting up with all the other stuff we're putting up with. So what does it say about the rest of us? There's a lot of fragile people out there.
Amen.
And a love touch might make all the difference. And you're just planting a seed, that's all. Doesn't take long. I was up to the VA and I got an ultrasound on my heart done, part of a heart testing and all that stuff. Well, anyway, kind of a maintenance thing. And so I went into their little cafeteria and I'm having a bite to eat, you know. And so I grabbed something and come around to the cashier, and there's this really nice looking black gal there, young gal. And she had those really tight braided, you know, I mean, she had braids this long. And she must have had 50 of them on her head. And I'm thinking, first of all, how long did it take to do that? I got over there and she did all that, you know, and I paid out all, and I says, I really like what you did to your hair. And she says, oh, well, thank you. And then I walked off because I didn't want to be the old creepy dude, you know. But I just touched her with a little bit of love and walked away just feeling great, and she felt great. I mean, she's sitting there doing a job that nobody else really wants to do, and she got to stay behind that big plexiglass spit shield and all that stuff, you know, and you know, I'm putting up all these guys coming through, getting their food and whatnot, you know. And I just, hey, man, I like that hair. That looks really nice on you. And it made her day. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Do not, whatever you do, when you got the light of God on the inside of you, just to hide it. Don't ever do that. That's not a good thing. God will bless your socks off if you let it go. And you guys are some of the best givers. And I'm telling you what, last month when we had the love offering, we gave to Jacob's Well, which handles the hurting and the homeless. A bunch of churches work together. So they go through them and they do all the stuff that they can do. And we gave them $98 last month. That was like a 50% increase. Yeah, God is good. And something even cooler than that, when we did the baby bottle drive, are you ready for this? $493.46 went to the Beginnings Care for Life. And by the way, Tony, I did get that box of dimes over to him. He rolled, I don't know, how many dimes were in that thing anyway?
More than
one,
right?
You don't have to say, that's okay. It was a lot. I'm looking at that going, wow, because it's, man, it's kind of heavy, you know. And the gal, and I set it on the counter, and the gal looked at me and goes, what? And I said, it's yours. You want a receipt? No. We did a bottle drive. This was just one I forgot to put in with the rest of it, you know. And it just blessed them. So you guys are just awesome. So we're called to be the light of the world. And this, by the way, today is the last day that we're collecting food for Tommy's house. And I'll tell you what, every Sunday I've had to take over a bunch over to them every week because it was overflowing out there in the lobby, and I just want to say thank you. Because these are gals that are going through, you know, drug and alcohol rehab, you know, from substance abuse or whatever. And it does something when people say, we believe in you. We believe in you. And that's a very, very cool thing. So anyway, you'll notice that on the 18th, we're going to hold our next growth track class. So if you didn't make it to the 101 class, we're going to have our 201. And you can come to that even if you didn't get to the first one. So we're going to have that on the 18th, and it's going to be on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. And it's a good time to really get started in your walk with the Lord. Amen? So, and by the way, today, just for those of you that don't know how this thing is going to flow, you notice that we've changed the seating. I'm sure your lightning fast mind picked up on that. Well, we're going to have a joint banquet together with the Hispanic church right at the end of service. When we're done, from noon to 2 o'clock, we're going to have this big old feast. I tell you that, Pastor Maria, you know, Pastor Victor's wife, she's got 4 turkey roasters full of food. Yeah, buddy. Now, if you're not really into Hispanic food, or just a little bit, but not too much, we're going to cook some sausages and some hot dogs, and we'll have them as well. So if you need a protein that's different from that, if your tummy can't handle it, we got that coming too. But my goodness, did you see all the desserts that are out there on the table? So that's pretty cool. Now, if you left stuff, your food out in the car, that's okay. Because like I said, we're going to end a little bit early so that we can get this thing all together. And then they're all going to come in, and probably about a quarter after 12, we're going to be eating.
Amen.
Now, one thing I ask of you, please, 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 do not sit together in the group of the Oasis.
Right. Amen.
Because the whole thing is about us getting to know these people. And most all of them speak English. So sitting down, get to know them a little bit, you know. You know, get to know their names a little bit and their kids, because they got a lot of kids, man. They got a lot of young people. In the month of May, they grew 20 people in their church.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They are really singing a lot of love songs to people out there, letting them know about how good Jesus is. Amen. So anyway, they're going to be there. Find out. What do they like to do? I mean, Russia, you could talk to them about, you know, cars and all that stuff. Because what do you got? You got this old classic car. You went to a Camaro now, right? He can talk your ear off about old cars, no problem. Too bad he doesn't have any Fords, but that's okay. We'll love him anyway. You got a Ford? All right. But the thing is we want to get to know them, and we want them to get to know us. Because the worst thing to do is to have two churches meeting in one building. Because there's only one church in Branch County. Did you know that? It just meets in a whole lot of different places. And the Ministerial Association has got that figured out for the last several years, and we get along. We're just good friends together, all these different pastors, and we just believe that God wants to do something in every church. Amen?
Amen.
We like to do it our way. They like to bake the cake their way. That's okay. It's like when I get done cooking something, and people go, wow, that was really good. And I said, you know what the secret is? And they look at me, well, no, what? I said, putting in the right amount of kerosene. Then they look at me, I got a guy brain, you know. And they go, what do you mean, the right amount of kerosene? I says, none. I'm not going to give them my secrets, you know. But anyway, we're going to have a good time today. So you guys ready to pray? We got all kinds of prayer requests up here. My sister Joan with the breast cancer, all the folks that are on our list in your bulletin, keep lifting them up. It drives the devil slap crazy when you pray for people, I'm telling you. But we're also going to pray for Desiree, which is, you know, Carlos and Wanda's daughter, and she's having medical problems, and they need to figure it out. I do that every time I go to see somebody that's got health issues. I pray that the doctors, they have supernatural wisdom. Amen? And then Tommy needs wisdom and guidance and inspiration. So come on, stretch your hands out. Father, we just thank you right now that you are a prayer answering God. You said if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And if we know you hear us, we know that we get what we ask for. So we thank you, Lord, that every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So we speak healing and wholeness. We thank you, Lord, for giving the doctors wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for turning lives around with your goodness and your mercy. So, Father, we just call it done to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, I want to kind of circle back around. I want to be careful not to say that because we've got one person on TV says that a lot. But anyway, We got to get back. I didn't finish up on everything I wanted to share with you about the table. Go to Psalms 23. Because we got to get back to the table, folks. We have to. Because if we don't, we're going to be in a real bunch of trouble. I got a friend of mine who's been out of church for 3 months. Got his own business. I texted him about coming because we're going to have the big feed bag. And you know how it is. If you cook it, they will come. But I get this text back this morning. Gee, I wish I could, but with all the rain, I'm so far behind in mowing lawns that this morning might be my best chance to get caught up. And I'm thinking, gee whiz, man. Putting God on hold because you got lawns to mow. I know that people make their living off of that. But you know, the funny thing is if you put God first, if you get yourself to the table, your life gets a whole lot less complicated. Because he starts taking away all the clutter and the things that are trying to distract you and everything else, you've got to put God first. Because if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Bible says everything else is going to be added unto you. But let's go over here to Psalms 23. I mean, we just read it and we get real churchy about it and all that stuff. But this is something that is incredible that David wrote. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, when our soul is surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, something incredible begins to happen. That means we've entered into a covenant of faith with him, a covenant of grace, a covenant of love, and a powerful confidence that's released in the middle of tough times. If he's my Lord, then he's going to make a way where there is no way. And that's what David's talking about here through this whole psalm, because he went through some pretty tough times. And several weeks ago we were talking about, I know we had to take the break for Father's Day and all of that, but he's my shepherd. He lays his life down for his flock. He withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. He chose to dwell within us as a guarantee of his promises. And he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us, ever. That's a pretty good shepherd. He's not asking you to lay down your life for him. He says, "I'll lay down my life for you." If you can walk in that kind of love, you're not worried about a thing. He's my provider who supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I'm never going to walk in lack. He's my leader that shows me the way in life. Not only that, he's going to lead me in the way everlasting. So my righteousness grows and glorifies the Father. How powerful is that? He's my protector. In hard times, you know, when you come to the table and God looks you right in the eye and he says, "Don't worry about a thing, this one's on me." All of a sudden, you start grinning, can't you? You can just start grinning. Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, surrounded by three different armies. I mean, they were outnumbered 100 to 1. And they started worshiping the Lord, and the prophet spoke up and he said, "God says, this one's mine. You get the worshipers out front, come out from the safety of your walls, because you're going to starve when they put siege on you. Just come out, face them." They came out, and every one of them had killed each other. They all got mad at each other, and those three armies had come against them. All they had to do is just pick up the spoils and bring them back into the city, because God took care of business. Amen. He's my defender. His weapons are mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds. He's my peace and my comfort and my wisdom in the middle of the storms of life. I can chill out and know it's going to be all right. I don't know how it's going to be all right. I don't know when it's all going to be over, but I know the one who does. And he's pulled my fat out of the fire I don't know how many times, so I know he's not going to break out in a sweat taking care of me this time. But let's take this at another look at this when it comes to this, because coming to his table that he talks about, he's prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. In other words, in the middle of the battlefield, in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of all the screaming and hollering and confusion. There's this sacred spot in the middle of it all where Jesus is sitting there at a table that's all prepared for you. And all you got to do is decide that I'm going to turn my back on all this racket, and I can tell you it's easier said than done. Because all of this stuff, I think one guy called it, I took a time management class, and they had a phrase that they use is called the tyranny of the urgent. In other words, like some people, if the phone's ringing, they got to answer it. Back in the day, they came up with this wonderful thing called an answering machine. So if I don't want to talk to you right now, it'll go on there. I'll get back to you. It's all good. But even today with smartphones and everything else, it's like, I got to answer that thing. It commands everything that you do. And people get like that in every area of their life. And it's like, I've got to fix it. I've got to push every button, turn every knob, pull in every lever, or else I'm going down in flames. And Jesus says, pull up a chair. Don't worry, all those troubles will be waiting for you when we get done here. They ain't going nowhere. But just step into this quiet little zone of peace and spend a little time with me, because I got something I want to give you. I used to watch football all the time until they got all this bend in the knee thing. But funny thing about football games is that I've seen, you know, teams that were just absolutely unbeatable in the regular season, but when they got into the playoffs and they'd get a lead, instead of continuing to play like they were playing, they decided that they were going to go into what they call the prevent defense, and they'll blow a 40-point lead. Because they're trying now, they're not trying to win, they're trying not to lose. And there's a world of difference in how you see yourself in those two situations. But the funny thing about, you know, those football games is that you can have a miserable first half, and they all go back into the locker room. Then they bring out the dancing monkeys and all that other kind of stuff to keep you entertained while both teams are going into the locker room to make adjustments. The coaches who've been studying all this and that and all of that, you know, because a lot of times the players, it's like they can't see the forest because there's too many trees. But the coach will back up and he'll say, okay, when we're running this play and this, we are expecting them to do this and that. Well, they were doing the other thing, and that was always messing us up. So we're going to make this adjustment. So our coach is Jesus. And sometimes you're in the middle of a battlefield where everything, like the wheels are falling off. And can I just say it this way? It can happen because the devil hates your guts, because there's two times that the devil will attack you. Just two. One is when you're in the will of God, and the other is when you're out of the will of God. Okay? Because he's an equal opportunity devil. So sometimes it's because things are just coming against you, and other times it's because you did something stupid. You made a wrong decision. You took the bait, and the enemy dragged you off in your own desires and messed with your life, and you got consequences you got to deal with. But the good news is that that table is still there, whether you caused it or if you didn't. Whether you got into sin or not, that table's waiting for you. In every situation in your life, in good times and in bad times, that table is right there. So it's important. See, the enemy is really deceiviously deceptive. He's really good at what he does. And he weasels himself into your thought life so he can kind of get you to back away from that table. Just like what happened in the Garden of Eden when everything was rocking along fine and the devil comes along and told Eve, did God really say that? Got her to thinking. Adam's right there with her. He could have stopped the whole thing anytime, but he wasn't. He was just as dumb as she was, so don't blame the woman. But in the middle of it all, they got to doubting and thinking, well, gosh, maybe we ought to do this ourselves. So they ate of that wrong tree. Because it looked good, because you get to make all your decisions. You decide what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's not. And it still happens today. People go to the wrong tree. The tree of life says, God's got it all figured out. Just do it his way. It works every time. It's like having, you know, a great big old honking cookbook that tells you how to fix everything. Just do it the way he said and it'll work. Cook with just the same ingredients, just like it says. And pay attention because salt and sugar looks the same. I've made that mistake before. Boy, you couldn't eat that thing, let me tell you. But he wants to have a place at this table where he can bring his confusion and everything else to bear. And by the way, can I tell you what? The biggest part of the battlefield is right is in the real estate between your ears. It's called the battlefield of the mind. Where you got to, like 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, you need to think about what you're thinking about. Because not every thought that wanders into your head came from you. A lot of it came from the enemy. And he's trying to tear you up any way that he can in order to get you to defeat yourself. And God's all the time saying, come back to my table. Come back to my table. He talks about it. Two weeks ago, we talked about the lies of comparison and the lie that you're doomed, the lie that you're worthless. Those are lies. The lies that said you're all by yourself and it's all over but the crying. No. God does care about you. And if you'll relax long enough to just come to His table, He'll show you ways to overcome like you have never seen before in your life. And it'll be the easiest thing you ever did. Comparing to trying to do it all on your own, yeah. And I was back there praying this week on that back table back there. And that's where I usually like to go, that little round table we usually have back there by Merle. Get away out of my office because there's everything in the office tells me I got to do this and do that before I can do anything else. So if I get out of there and I walk out here, I'm not thinking about what I've got to do in the office. And I got to praying along and reading in the Word, and up out of my spirit came this that the Lord said to me. He says, never try to take something that can only be given to you. Got me thinking, because I knew that it didn't come from me. It's just a spontaneous thought. That's how God speaks into our life. This little spontaneous thought came through there, and I knew it wasn't the devil. No, it wasn't me, so I only left one other guy, and that was God. Never try to take something that can only be given to you. You cannot go and pursue peace. Peace is a gift. Peace is the presence of God. You can go chase after prosperity all you want, but you'll spend it all in the doctor's office. And there ain't going to be no U-Haul at the other end of that hearse that's going to haul you off to the cemetery. Only God can do that. He says, the Lord, He's going to bless you and He's going to bring no sorrow with it. He'll cause you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. But you can never take what can only be given to you. I can't go out and take the victory. Because 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'm not responsible for the victory. I'm responsible for doing what I'm supposed to do, and God's the one who's responsible for doing the other part. If I'll do this, He'll do this. But I got to spend time at the table. I got to spend time with Him. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Jesus and diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place through us. That's the power of God. I remember as a kid, a teenage boy, even as a preteen. How many of you ever raised a teenage boy? It's freaky how much a teenage boy can eat. One time my son, I think he got up to 13 or 14, something like that. We were out in Oklahoma, and we'd gone up to Tahlequah, and there was this great big old fancy nice restaurant there, had a big old buffet line and all that, and they had seafood set out on the sign. Okay, we went in there, and buddy, I'll tell you what, when they said seafood, they weren't kidding. They had crab legs piled high, and they had shrimp. They had everything in there. And normally, when we sit down, my wife and I, we'll get the buffet, and we'll get the kids something that, you know, doesn't break the bank. My son looked at me, and he said, Dad, Can I do the buffet too? So in a moment of weakness, had an extra 20 in my pocket, and I said, yeah, I think we can do that. And I watched my son fill his plate heaping high with crab legs 5 times before I shut him down. That's enough. But I'm still hungry. That's enough. See, when it comes to God's table, you don't want to get too far away from that either. As a teenage boy, I was always trying to stay close to mom and dad's table because, hey, the groceries hit every day. Don't be late or you get the chicken neck. There was seven of us people and one chicken to feed us all. And if you got there late, you got the back or you got the neck, and that's it. So being where I needed to be was important, because like it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." But let me add just one little modifier to that. There is one thing that can separate you, and that's you. If you choose not to come to the table to receive the grace and the mercy that you have need of in a tough spot, that's on you. Did no devil make you do it. You just chose to go and do your thing. "I'll get back to you, Lord." Well, that very seldom turns out well. We got to return to the table. Because the enemy always has a way of weaseling into our thought life. See, when we accept stress, that breeds compromise, and compromise brings death, which is separation. And the longest distance between two points is always the shortcut. So the power of God is here to bring you through. And if you get caught up in a terrible thing because, you know, the devil, you know, nobody can say I'm tempted of God, because God can't be tempted with evil, but he doesn't tempt anybody else either. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it brings birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings death. So he uses your own desires. They're not necessarily bad desires, but he uses those desires to hook you into doing things you shouldn't do. And the good news is, just come back to the table. Just come back to the loving kindness of the Lord who rescued you out of the terrible pit that you were in. He still can rescue you again and again and again. That's why he gave us 1 John 1:9, that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we got to decide. Go over here to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. Come running back to that table. Because you're not going to get chewed out. You're going to get a big old hug slapped on you. And he's going to walk you out of the mess that you're in. And he's going to bring you into a good place. And it isn't because you deserve it. It's because the blood of Jesus already paid for it. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21, it says, "If indeed you've heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." By the way, this is written to Christians. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And down here in verse 26, he tells us that he might sanctify and cleanse our minds by the washing of the water, by the word. So the more you stay in the word, the more you stay around Christians. When you screw up so bad, know this: without exception, there's a table that God has prepared for you in the middle of your sin, in the middle of your crisis. And it's there to set you free. It's so important to be cleansed from everything and get a fresh start. Because with God, you're cleansed as if it never happened.
Amen.
Never happened. God's not like my wife. Now, I love my wife to pieces, but there's times where I get stuff on my good clothes, and she is the laundry wizard. She can get out almost any stain I can put on. And buddy, I've tested that to the limit. And you take one look at that, and she said, "Why didn't you tell me it was there?" Well, I forgot. God knows it's there. God knows what to do. God will set you free. Because God believes in you. But you got to own it. When you mess up, you got to own it, you got to repent of it, and you got to grab onto the hem of his garment. Get yourself back to that table again. He'll forgive you. He'll love you. Every time. I don't care if you do it 100 times in a day. It doesn't matter. Because he still believes in you. And you think you've worn out your welcome and it's three strikes and you're out. Jesus said it this way to Peter one time. In fact, he said it to all the disciples. says if somebody sins against you and asks for forgiveness, forgive them. Peter said, I did that 7 times. And Jesus said, it's 7 times 70. 490 times in a day, they do the same thing to you, forgive them. Do you think God the Father's any different?
No.
So you haven't worn out your welcome. Come to the table. And let God's love wash over you, set you free, show you where the devil was able to hook you, get you to that place where you're walking strong, so that you're surrendering. Because see, you can't come to the table unless you surrender. By surrendering, you're saying, God, I can't do this on my own. It's like you're Captain Obvious. But in the middle of it all, God says, that's okay. Let's work on this together. If you'll surrender, I'll show you how to get stronger. And the next time this thing comes around, you'll whip it. And God will be glorified. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that your love is from everlasting to everlasting, and you never give up, Lord, because your love is unconditional. Your love is absolute. There is no way of measuring it. We get it all the minute we gave Jesus the lordship of our life. And no matter how many times we fall down, you pick us right back up again. And we thank you for that. And we give you all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen.